things that are against the state or against the norm or against something that actually the other prophets are always saying. And in this particular chapter we're going to look at, there is one verse that many of you will have had, you know, on your mantelpiece, or you will have been given it as a, I'm not going to say a good luck charm, but actually sometimes you can take it as that. It's Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And I'm going to sort of take that apart a little bit and actually bring it back into the history of the Jewish people at that time, where they were, what was happening to them, and actually kind of not dismissed it, but in essence actually put it back in its context, because we very often have taken it out of its context. And I want to bring it back into the place where that scripture was very pertinent, but it has a different meaning to the one that we usually associate with it, which is key. So I'm going to read you four verses from chapter 29. And this is Jeremiah writing. I wrote a letter to the priests, the prophets, the leaders of the people, and to all the others whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, that is verse 1. Verse 2 goes to talk about all the kind of names that are unpronounceable, and you know, you jump on someone and say, do you mind just reading those names? And they go, no, that's not really helpful. But anyway, the people that were got taken away were the king, the queen, all the nobles, and the people who had gifts in some way, i.e. craftsmen. You know, those people that made things, that were skilled. They were the ones that were taken away to Babylonia. The people left behind thought that they were the lucky ones, or the fortunate ones, or the blessed ones, depending on how you view your terminology. But they thought they were the blessed ones. And there were several prophets in and around there, and there was Jeremiah and another couple of prophets, and those were saying, this is how it's going to be. You have been taken away, that's obvious, it's happened, it's done, but you're actually going to come back quite quickly. Now, this is what Jeremiah writes. Listen to this, because it is quite important. The Lord Almighty, so he's speaking on behalf of God, the God of Israel, says to all those whom God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylonia, build houses, okay? Plant gardens and eat what you grow in them. Marry and have children. Then let your children get married, so that they may also have children. You must increase in numbers and not decrease. Work for the good of the cities where I have made you go as prisoners. Pray to me on their behalf. That, to us, doesn't seem strange. To them, at this point in time, is like very odd. I'll explain later. Because if they are prosperous, you will be prosperous too. God is actually saying to them, you're not going for a little while. Build houses. Doesn't seem very short term. Get married. Doesn't seem very short term. Let your children have children. That means there's at least two or three generations that are going. The negative is that the people that have gone will not be coming back. If you were 20 when you get taken, 70 years later, assuming that you live to 90, and then you come back, all well and good. But the probability is that you're not coming back. Hence why God is saying to them, look, settle there. Become an influence there. Pray. Now the prayer is very unusual, because they were, you know, Jerusalem, Israel, was the only land they believed in. They were then to pray for someone who's conquered them and taken them away. That was kind of like against what they would have believed in and would have thought to be the norm. But God is telling them to pray for their enemies, for those who don't even believe in God, who have many gods. But he's actually asking them to pray for them, that they will prosper. I'm going to skip the history bit. If you want the history later, I'll always tell you. But being a good preacher, I've got three P's. First, they were to have patience. Patience because they were going to stay there a long time, not just a short time. They were going to be there for 70 years. That is a long time. That is a lifetime of most people. If you've passed 70 now, you've done well. But most of us, you know, the Bible says how long we are allotted. And when we get more time, that's a bonus. But actually, 70 years is a good age to be, even assuming that you were not one when you left. They were to be patient. Significantly, the Jewish people had this habit of rebelling or kicking against those in authority, especially when they were foreigners. And God quite clearly says to them, do not rebel. Do not reject what I have done to you, but actually work for the good of the Babylonian Empire. Hang on a minute. That sounds a bit weird. It's really contrary to what they would think and believe. And it probably rubbed them up the wrong way, but this was God's message to them. So they were to have patience. They were to build a presence. Second P. They were to have a presence in Babylonia, which would actually, people would often know. You know, if you start building houses and you start getting married and start having children, you know, that's the way you gain a presence in a community. Because of the things that you do, that kind of says they're going to be permanent. They are here for a while. They are putting down things. They are making produce probably available to the rest of the communities that they're in. And they are going to benefit those around them. And that would have got noticed. And God wanted them to be noticed. He wanted them to be a blessing where they were. And often, where God's children are, we can be a blessing to those around us. Wherever we are. Whether we're in Worthing, Spain, France, Sudan, doesn't matter where we are at that moment in time. We can be a blessing to the people around us. And we should be. Third P. Can I have a P please, Bob? Yes. Promise. There was a promise in the latter verses after the verses I've read. There is a promise that this transportation into Babylonia would be for a short time. Not what the prophets were sometimes saying, that they would come back because this is God's will. God said they will be there for 70 years, which is a long time. But there was a promise they could hold on to. The Jewish people at this moment in time had a promise that they could hold on to, that God had spoken, you will come back, I will draw you back, which is where I know the plans I have for you. At this moment in time for their lives was to build, to marry, to produce produce, to live their lives out. But the promise was there. I will bring you back from the land that I have taken you to. That was their history. That was their what was going on in these verses. That's why it says, I know the plans. Now, okay, so that's their history. How about our history? Okay, so where's God placed you? You see where I'm going, it's obvious. You shouldn't worry too much. Where's God placed you? Be a blessing. Be a blessing in your community. Get involved in your community. You know, I mean, I preached this at Broad Baptist last week, and they clearly have the Wave Centre. They serve, I don't know how many hundreds of people that come in through that Wave Centre. But, you know, I encourage them to continue doing and praying for that Wave Centre. The way that they serve coffee, the way that they do things, do it really well, do it with a blessing. I encourage them to go prayer walking. And now Mary would suggest that if when you go prayer walking with me, you have to be careful because I might get a bit excited and a bit enthusiastic as we're praying for different homes. But you know, to pray into our community, to pray, you know, we have done this. We have prayed for the shops across the way that they would be prosperous. Why? So that they in turn would feed back into our community, literally as well as physically. Because, you know, I know that we all go outside when we're hungry sometimes. We use those. My heroes are these guys. There was one Sunday when, you know, I bumped into Simon. Obviously, I was there as well. Simon. And then I bumped into the kids getting different kinds of food. I thought, amazing. They're my heroes. But how we pray into our communities, how we bless our communities. We live here. Many of us live in Worthing, in Broadwater. And we should pray for our communities and be intentional about our prayers for Broadwater. And that we involve ourselves. You know, it's something that God has given to the Jewish people at this point in time. It's something that he can speak into our lives and has spoken into our lives. And that we actually take that command and do it. And do it intentionally. And do it regularly. And do it in a way that actually brings glory to his name. Because at the end of the day, our heart is to communicate the gospel. The good news about Jesus who loves them and loves us. And that we have responded to that good news. At the moment, they haven't. And we want that. We want to be a true witness in this community to say how much God loves them and how much God appreciates them and wants to bring them into this community, into his family. And that is always our intention. It's not just good works. It is so that we have the opportunity to share about God and share Jesus into their lives that brings about a change. Because we know that change has happened in us. We know what we would have been like if we didn't have Jesus in our lives. We know we would probably have been quite selfish. We know we would have probably been quite horrible. We know that we would fight with one another. But because of God's grace, we can see that we actually are people that can change our communities and change the way that our communities work. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, that you do know the plans for us. Thank you that we can trust you because you are such an amazing God. Thank you that you have put us in a place where we can work for the good of that place. Lord, that we can witness for you in a way that actually people see us and look on and say, God is in that place. Even if they don't believe in a God or have no knowledge of a God, thank you that we can be those people that show God to them. For we are your hands and feet upon this world. And Lord, we want to be in a place where we serve you and serve you with all our heart. And that we bring about something in the lives of others around us that changes them from those who do not know you to those who know you. Thank you that from, you know, history, from scripture, Lord, we have learnt, Lord, that you sometimes do things that we don't fully understand. But Lord, thank you that you see the bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, you have placed us in this smaller part. And we thank you, Father, that you've chosen to use us. Lord, people that maybe don't have much influence or much significance. But when we stand in you, we have the heritage that you have given us that belongs to your Son. And because we are sons and daughters of yours, we thank you that we can represent God and represent him fully. So thank you, Father. Amen.